Message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our rest. Amen. You know, I once heard a statistic that Americans work more hours per week than most other cultures in the world. Let's face it, there's a lot of work to do, and sometimes we can end up feeling weary and burdened. I mean, not only do we have to work for a living so we can pay the bills, but on top of that, there's work to do at home, there's work to do at church, there's work to do in the community, and some of us may have friends and family who are in need, and so they require our time and attention as well. Sometimes we wonder if we will ever have enough time for adequate rest. Will the work ever end, we wonder? Can we ever heave a sigh of relief and say, it's finished? Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But what does Jesus mean? If we want to know what these words of Jesus mean for us today, we'll have to examine these words in their original context in Matthew chapter 11. And once we understand what Jesus means by these words, we will then be able to understand what they mean for our lives today. So with that said, let's examine our gospel reading as it appears in Matthew chapter 11. At the very beginning, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Now, what is Jesus teaching us here? Well, first, we need to note the three words that appear immediately before this statement of Jesus. I'm talking about the three words, at that time. At what time? Well, if you examine the context earlier in Matthew chapter 11, you will find that Jesus had just finished speaking to the crowds and rebuking some of them because they had rejected his teaching. And why did they reject Jesus' teaching? Because they thought his teaching was foolishness. They thought his teaching didn't apply to them. They didn't think that anything he had to say was relevant for their lives. Now, in response to their prideful attitudes, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Now, let's define some terms here. What does Jesus mean when he says, these things? Well, these things is his teaching. And his teaching included the message that we're all guilty sinners who deserve God's wrath because we have rebelled against his will. Therefore, we must repent and trust in Jesus, the Son of God who was born to save his people from their sins. In other words, these things is the teaching that God gives us forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Jesus. But sadly, the wise and learned people of Jesus' day did not receive these gifts. Not because God didn't want to save them, he did. But they didn't receive these gifts because they thought this teaching of Jesus was foolishness. How dare he accuse us of being sinners, they said. How dare he suggest that we have to trust in him to be saved? We're good people. Oh, sure, we mess up here and there, but certainly our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. How can he dare call us sinners and suggest that he's the only Savior? That's why they were not able to receive the salvation that Jesus wanted to give them. You see, these wise and learned people have their own ideas and opinions about God and sin and salvation, and Jesus' teaching did not sit well with them. Well, Jesus then thanks his Father for not affirming such evil behavior. You see, it's not that Jesus doesn't want to save the wise and learned. He does. It's that he can't save them as long as they remain wise and learned skeptics of God's word. And Jesus thanks his Father that the Father didn't ask Jesus to cater to their rebellious attitudes. Simply put, if these people don't want Jesus, they won't get Jesus. But the little children will get Jesus and all his gifts. So who are these little children? Well, Jesus is not referring merely to the infants and toddlers who are helpless. He refers also to any adult who despairs of his or her own wisdom and humbly accepts the teaching of Jesus as the truth that can save him. In other words, those who confess their sins and trust in Jesus as their Savior, they will get the rest that only God can give us. And now we come to the crucial question, what is this rest that Jesus wants to give us? What kind of rest does Jesus want us to have? We'll answer that in just a bit. But for now, listen to what Jesus says next. And listen closely, because these words are very important. Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, Jesus is here clearly teaching that he is no ordinary man. We need to hear that in our world today, because there's many people in our culture who want to reduce Jesus to just one of many spiritual gurus throughout history, no different than any other men. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. You see, even though Jesus is fully human, made like us in every way, except without sin, we hear in these words that Jesus is also equal with the Father. In fact, only the Son knows the Father. And so the only way we can know the Father is through faith in the Son. So when Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father," he's stressing that he didn't stop being God when he was born of the Virgin Mary. All things have been committed to Jesus, even when he walked this earth in human flesh. This means that Jesus is fully God. Now, the wise and learned people didn't accept this. The wise and learned people said, "Well, how can God become man? How can God be born of a virgin? How can God walk around in human flesh? We don't believe that nonsense." But in contrast, the little children who believe that Jesus is who he says he is, such as these, are able to come to the Father through faith in Jesus. And now we're ready to consider the meaning of these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So who are the weary and burdened, and what kind of rest does Jesus want to give them? Well, even though we all long for physical rest, and even though God mercifully often does grant us physical rest, and even though God knows that we need physical rest, that's not the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about here. Instead, Jesus is talking about spiritual rest. You see, when the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to convict us of sin and then reconcile us to the Father through His Son, Jesus, we then can rest in the forgiveness, love, and eternal life that God longs to give us. You see, Jesus knows that we were created to live forever in a love relationship with God. However, the reason the world is in the mess that it is, the reason that life can often be such an exhausting drudgery, is that we sinners try to find rest in all the wrong places. We try to find rest in our sin rather than trusting God. You know, a famous Christian teacher from the 4th century named St. Augustine once penned these words. Listen to what he said. "You, O God, have created us for yourself. Therefore, our heart is restless until it rests in you." You know, in Jesus' day, many Jewish people were weary and burdened spiritually, because they had been taught by their wise and learned leaders that they had to earn God's love by their faithful obedience. In other words, they were taught that salvation from sin and death and the hope of being loved by God was based on their performance and their obedience of God's laws. Sadly, this false teaching was a huge burden that was heavy to bear, because most people were honest enough to admit that no matter how hard they tried to obey God's law, they fell far short of doing it perfectly. Many people knew that they daily sinned against God by their thoughts and their words and their deeds. And so they lived in constant fear of God's wrath. And the only comfort that the wise and learned leaders gave to these people was this. They would basically say, hey, if you're weary and burdened, then try harder to be more like us. And then maybe one day, God will love you too. Jesus commented on the unfaithful leadership of the Jewish people. In Matthew 23, Jesus says the following about their leaders. He says, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. In other words, the Jewish leaders failed to teach that salvation is by grace through the work of Jesus. But in contrast, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what does Jesus mean here? Well, first we have to know what Jesus means by yoke. Now, in Jesus' day, a yoke was a wooden device that was placed over two oxen or two beasts of burden with the goal of unifying them so they could work together to accomplish a particular task. So, what is the yoke that Jesus wants to place on us then? Well, Jesus' yoke is his teaching. That's why Jesus says, learn from me. That's why we need to see church not as an obligation we have to perform to make God happy. Instead, church is a place where we can rest in Jesus' teaching and learn from him. It's where Jesus nurtures us and feeds us. You see, Jesus is basically saying this, don't join yourselves to false teachers whose foolish opinions will burden you all the way to hell. Instead, Jesus says that we should join ourselves to him, because his teaching will not only convict us of sin, but even more, it will assure us that through him and his sacrifice for us, we are forgiven and loved by God and have a certain hope of eternal life in his kingdom. You know, a famous Christian by the name of Saint Bernard once said this concerning these words of Jesus. He said, what can be lighter than a burden which unburdens us and a yoke which bears its bearer? Also, regarding the same words of Jesus, Martin Luther once wrote this. He wrote, Christ's burden does not oppress, but makes light, and itself bears rather than is borne. So coming to church or having family devotions or reading the Bible on a regular basis, that's not a burden, some horrible feat you have to perform to make God happy. Instead, it's a gift you get to receive. Learning from Jesus is his way of feeding you and comforting you and strengthening you in your faith so that you can have the rest that you really need. You see, Jesus knows that we were created to live forever in a love relationship with him, and that we're nothing without him. That's why I love those famous quotes I read to you earlier. They talk of Jesus as being the one who bears us. Jesus takes our burden of sin and guilt, and he bears it for us. And so the teaching of Jesus is his yoke that is easy. The teaching of Jesus is his burden that is light. Now, with that understood, we need to realize that Jesus bearing us doesn't mean that we're now free to go out and live as we please, as though choosing our own way and rebellion against God's word doesn't matter because Jesus will take us to heaven anyway. That's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, if we despise God's will for our lives, we're thereby rejecting His rest, because part of His rest includes living in the good and gracious way that God intended for us in the beginning. Therefore, those who reject God's will and cling to their sin, they're actually running away from God and excluding themselves from His rest. In fact, we heard about this sad behavior in our second reading from Hebrews. Some of God's Old Testament people were rejected by God, not because He hated them, but because they hated Him. They rejected God's word and they refused to turn from their sin. As a result, they excluded themselves from His rest. On the other hand, though, broken sinners who are burdened by the guilt of their sin, broken sinners who long for the mercy of God, broken sinners who desire to have the strength to live according to God's will, such little children have the rest of Jesus. That's why our reading from Hebrews says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." And how do we enter God's rest? That happens when the Holy Spirit uses the living and active Word of God to judge the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts so that we will stop trying to find rest in our sin and instead find rest in Jesus, our great high priest, who was made like us in every way except without sin, so that He could offer Himself as an atoning sacrifice in our place. Through faith in Jesus, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence and find rest. In other words, Jesus gives us the rest that we truly need. Jesus gives us forgiveness of sin and eternal life in God's love. Well, now we know how our gospel reading applies to our lives today. Simply put, as much as we may long for physical rest, that's not the rest that we truly need. Even though we long to be free from the exhausting drudgery of this broken world, we need the spiritual rest of Jesus if we're ever to be free from that. You know, in our culture today, there are many wise and learned people who think that Jesus' teaching is foolishness. In our culture today, there are many who reject the rest that God wants to give us, and instead, they try to find rest in various other things, such as man-made religion, or money, or work, or recreation, or sex, or drugs, or food, or popularity, and the list goes on. Even we Christians are tempted to do this, finding rest in things that cannot give us rest, while avoiding the only thing that can give us the rest that we really need. But the good news is that God uses His word to make us into little children. Little children who despair of their own efforts to save themselves. Little children who find rest in Jesus and His teaching. As St. Augustine once said, we are restless until we rest in God. We were created to live forever in a love relationship with God. Now, our sin makes that impossible, but thanks be to God, God has done the impossible for us. Jesus has conquered our sinful foolishness. Jesus has brought us back into a love relationship with the Father. Therefore, we are no longer restless souls if we trust in Jesus. Today, Jesus looks at you and He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In other words, you don't have to spend a single moment of this life wondering if God loves you. You don't have to spend a single moment of this life wondering if you're good enough for God. The fact is, you're not good enough for God, and neither am I. But the rest that Jesus gives us is the knowledge that sinners though we are, we can come to the Father through Jesus, who bore our sin and guilt Himself, that we might be forgiven and have the joy of living now and forever as God's dearly loved children. One day, you will live in a perfect world when Jesus returns. And in that perfect world, there will be no more stress, no more physical exhaustion, no more drudgery that is common in the sinful world. We can look forward to that. But until that day comes, rejoice in the fact that you've already been given the rest that really matters. You have been given Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our rest. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.